Imagine for a second that you are holding the physical blueprint to a billion-dollar invention.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the absolute most valuable thing you've ever created.
Exactly. It's your life's work.
Yeah.
But there's this massive catch. To get the legal rights to actually own it, you have to publish this blueprint for the entire world to see.
Everyone, every single person.
Right, including your fiercest, most well-funded rivals. They get to look right at it. And obviously, you desperately want to keep them from actually understanding how it works, but you legally have to publish it. So how do you do it?
You hide it.
Yeah, you hide it in plain sight using weaponized complexity.
It's such a wild concept. And to understand how that weaponized complexity actually works out in the real world, we've got a fascinating July 2026 research paper today.
Yes, from researchers at Lehigh, Wayne State, and Emory Universities.
Right. It's titled Patent Disclosure and Reliance on External Financing. And it effectively cracks the code on how companies use what economists call strategic obfuscation to deliberately confuse their competitors.
So we are jumping right into the hidden language of innovation today. In this deep dive, we're unpacking that strategic obfuscation. We're going to see exactly how artificial intelligence is finally being used as, a massive lie detector to catch these major companies in the act.
Which is amazing.
It really is. And we're also going to uncover the incredibly surprising reason why a company's desperate need for cash is acting as the ultimate truth serum for human knowledge.
Because the stakes here are just astronomical. I mean, the U.S. patent system isn't some niche legal playground for academics, you know?
Great.
It generates $8 trillion in economic activity annually. $8 trillion. And the entire foundation of that massive system is a grand bargain.
The trade-off.
Exactly. The government grants you, the inventor, a temporary monopoly. For a set number of years, nobody else can legally sell your creation.
But in exchange for that monopoly, you have to give something back.
Right. You must provide a public, highly readable disclosure of exactly how you built it, because that is how collective human knowledge actually advances.
But what this paper proves, using this just incredible data set, is that this fundamental bargain is being actively subverted. The quality of human knowledge entering the public domain today is basically entirely dependent on corporate debt.
Which sounds crazy, right? But to see why companies go out of their way to write deliberately confusing patents, we really have to look at the tension that's built into that grand bargain.
Okay, let's unpack this. If an inventor writes a perfectly clear, incredibly easy to understand patent, they are fulfilling their end of the deal, right?
Yep, 100%.
They're helping society, adding to the collective genius. But by being so flawlessly clear, they are handing their competitors a massive gift.
A roadmap, basically.
Yeah, a clear blueprint shows rivals exactly where the legal boundaries of the invention begin and end.
And competitors will ruthlessly exploit that clarity. They'll read that pristine blueprint, figure out the precise parameters of your claims, and then they'll just, slightly tweak their own design.
So they manage to design around your invention without technically infringing on your patent.
Exactly. Clear patents help society immensely. But they expose the inventor to immediate, really fierce competition.
It is exactly like being forced to share your grandmother's legendary secret cookie recipe with a rival bakery across the street.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
Right, because you legally have to hand over the recipe, so you maliciously write the measurements in obscure medieval fractions.
Right.
You use archaic terms for basic ingredients like flour and sugar, and you write the instructions in a single page-long run-on sentence, just praying that they completely mess up the bake and give up.
You are honoring the letter of the law, but completely destroying the spirit of it.
Exactly.
And that dynamic is perfectly captured by the data here. The researchers found this isn't just like a handful of paranoid inventors doing this in isolation. They analyzed a staggering 2.6 million U.S. patents.
Wow, 2.6 million.
Yeah, granted between 1976 and 2023. And the trend over that timeline is just undeniable. Right around the year 2000, patent obfuscation skyrocketed. Yeah, we started seeing a massive systemic surge in what basically amounts to deliberate patent gobbledygook.
Okay, but wait, I have a really hard time buying this narrative right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
Well, are we really pretending that a modern quantum computer or a complex mRNA vaccine is as easy to describe as a 1980s microwave?
I see what you mean.
I mean, technology has gotten objectively harder. It makes total sense that patents would be incredibly hard to read today It feels like we're just blaming lawyers for the fact that science is just complicated now.
You would think so, right? But the researchers anticipated that exact critique, and they specifically isolated that variable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They separated the complexity of the text into two distinct buckets. The first bucket is the fundamental complexity of the actual invention. So the raw science, the physics, the biology.
Okay, the actual tech.
Exactly. The second bucket is the strategic complexity added by the lawyers, the linguistic fog.
Uh-huh.
And when you isolate the core mechanics, the fundamental complexity of human inventions has remained essentially flat over time.
Wait, flat?
Totally flat. For decades, the baseline complexity needed to describe these scientific breakthroughs hovers right around a 12th grade reading level.
Wait. Are you saying a high school senior could grasp the core mechanics of most modern patents if they were just explained normally?
If the patent attorneys stepped out of the room, yes.
That is wild.
The spike we see in the data is entirely in that second bucket, the strategic complexity. Today, patent abstracts are routinely written at a postgraduate reading level.
How do they even measure that?
The researchers use the Gunning-Fogg Index. It calculates readability based on average sentence length and the frequency of complex multisyllable words. So a score of 12 means the text is readable by a high school senior.
Okay, makes sense.
A 17 means it requires a college graduate.
Right.
These modern patent abstracts are scoring over a 22.
Over a 22. That means they're essentially written in a fabricated postgraduate language that barely even qualifies as functional English.
Basically, yeah.
Patent attorneys are intentionally bolting on like 10 unnecessary grade levels of reading difficulty to their filings just to make them impenetrable.
Which leads to a critical question about the research methodology itself, right?
Right.
Because if the technology isn't getting harder, how did these researchers scientifically prove that companies are choosing to be confusing?
Right, because you can't exactly subpoena a corporate lawyer and ask them if they were being deliberately annoying on a random Tuesday in 2014.
Exactly.
So to prove deliberate obfuscation, you need a flawless counterfactual. You have to know what that exact same patent would look like if the author was genuinely trying to be helpful and clear.
Right.
So the researchers built an AI lie detector.
Yes, this is my favorite part.
They took the abstracts of all 2.6 million patents and fed them to a highly advanced large language model, Claude Sonnet 3.5.
Yeah.
And they gave the AI a very strict, highly controlled instruction. Rewrite this abstract purely for clarity without losing a single drop of technical meaning. Like, do not summarize it. Just simplify the language.
What's fascinating here is why they focused specifically on the patent abstract for this exercise. It was a brilliant move by the research team.
Why is that?
Because, according to the actual regulations of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, you are explicitly prohibited from using legal jargon in the abstract.
Wait, really?
Yeah. You aren't supposed to use lawyerly phrasing like said invention or means for executing X. The abstract is legally mandated to be a plain language summary of the technical disclosure.
Oh, wow. Which means any complexity found in the abstract is completely discretionary.
Exactly. The lawyers are actively choosing to ignore the plain language rule.
Wow. So by measuring the reading level of the original confusing abstract and then measuring the reading level of the AI's crystal clear rewrite, the researchers created a mathematical delta.
Right, a gap.
Yeah. And the difference between those two numbers is the patent's exact obfuscation score.
It completely destroys the standard legal defense of, oh, well, this is just how highly technical documents have to be written.
Because the AI proves the exact same technical concepts can be written simply.
Yep. The paper highlights a stunning example of this. IBM's patent, 9,547,842.
Okay, let's hear it.
The highly technical invention being patented here, an email auto reply.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the out-of-office feature we've all used for decades. IBM's original abstract for this was a complete labyrinth. It required a postgraduate reading level, scoring a 19.71 on that Gunning-Fogg index.
For an out-of-office message?
Yes. Listen to a snippet of how IBM chose to describe it. Quote, a method for managing a present state of a user, wherein the logic is configured to determine that a trigger event has occurred, and responsive to the trigger event, automatically update the present state.
That is just exhausting, run-on nonsense for sending an email when you aren't at your desk.
Exactly. And when the AI rewrote that exact same concept to just explain the core mechanics clearly, the reading level plummeted to a 12.81.
Basically a high school level.
Right. The obfuscation score for a simple email patent was nearly 7 grade levels of unnecessary garbage. The Electronic Frontier Foundation even mocked it publicly. They labeled it the stupid pattern of the month.
Okay, but a skeptic might look at that and say, well, an AI is basically just a giant summarization machine, right?
Sure, yeah.
Of course it's going to dumb everything down and strip out the big words. How do we know the AI isn't just, like, erasing the actual science to make the text look simpler?
Because the researchers proved the AI's accuracy by contrasting that IBM patent with a patent from a company called ASML.
Oh, ASML. They manufacture those extreme ultraviolet lithography machines used to print microchips, right?
That's the one.
Those are legitimately some of the most complex, mind-bending machines ever built by human beings. Like, they use lasers to vaporize microscopic tin droplets into plasma just to print circuits on a molecular level.
Exactly. It's incredibly advanced. And when the ASML lithography patent was fed into the AI, the AI recognized that the underlying technology was genuinely, fundamentally difficult.
So it didn't just dumb it down.
No. The fundamental complexity of the ASML patent scored an 18.88, but its obfuscation score was only a 1.69.
Oh, wow.
The AI rewrite barely changed the original reading level because ASML wasn't hiding anything behind jargon. The machine is just actually that complicated.
So this proves the AI lie detector works.
It absolutely works. When companies like IBM write incomprehensible patents for simple things, it is a deliberate strategic choice.
Okay, so now that we can scientifically isolate and measure this obfuscation, we have to look at the motive. Like, why pay incredibly expensive corporate lawyers hundreds of dollars an hour to spend days crafting dense, confusing abstracts?
Right, what's the payoff?
Yeah, what is the actual tangible reward for a company doing this?
The reward is an incredibly powerful defensive shield. The data reveals that highly obfuscated patents act like a force field around a company's technology.
How so?
Well, patents with high obfuscation scores receive significantly fewer citations from outside firms. And more importantly, they are far less likely to be involved in infringement litigation.
Wait, I would think being vague would lead to more fights in court, not fewer.
You'd think so.
Yeah, like if your property boundaries are fuzzy, people are going to accidentally cross them, which means you have to sue them to defend your territory, right?
It comes down to corporate risk assessment and the sheer cost of legal injunctions. Imagine a competitor is trying to launch a new product line. They review your patent to ensure they aren't infringing.
Okay.
But your patent is written in such dense gobbledygook that their own engineers and their legal team cannot agree on what your patent actually covers.
Ah, it's like building a fence around your property, but hiding the entire fence in a thick, impenetrable fog.
Exactly. If a competitor cannot clearly see the fence, they are terrified to walk anywhere near that field. They don't want to accidentally trespass, launch a product, and then get hit with a catastrophic injunction that halts their entire production line.
So instead of trying to innovate near your technology, they just abandon that technological space entirely.
Exactly. By deploying sheer confusion, the obfuscating firm effectively expands its monopoly far beyond what they actually invented. They just freeze out the competition entirely.
Think about the implications of that for you as a listener and for the world at large. The actual speed of global innovation is literally being slowed down.
Yes.
Major companies are using bad grammar, run-on sentences, and dense vocabulary as a deliberate weapon to stop knowledge spillovers. They're successfully hoarding the blueprints of human progress.
But if creating a fog fence is such an incredible defensive strategy, why wouldn't every single company just write entirely incomprehensible patents for every single invention?
Right.
Like, why make anything clear at all?
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because patents serve a dual purpose. They are legal shields to block competitors, yes, but they are also highly valuable financial assets.
Right. They're intellectual property.
Exactly. And like any piece of property, a patent can be sold or it can be pledged to a bank as collateral to secure a major corporate loan.
And if a bank is going to accept a piece of paper as collateral for, say, a $50 million loan, they need to know exactly what that paper is worth.
They need cold, hard numbers.
Right. And the researchers uncovered a massive hidden cost to obfuscation. If you want to use your patent to get a loan, the lending bank has to assess its liquidation value.
The worst case scenario.
Exactly. The bank evaluates the risk, thinking, if this company defaults on this loan, how much can I sell this patent for on the open market at auction to recoup my money?
Right.
Now, who are the natural buyers for a highly specialized tech patent at an auction?
Well, it's the original company's competitors.
Exactly.
The exact people the patent was designed to confuse in the first place.
You nailed it. And we already established that competitors won't touch a highly obfuscated patent because they don't know what it does.
Right.
If a patent is impossible to read, buyers in the secondary market won't bid on it. Consequently, lenders refuse to accept it as collateral because its liquidation value is far too uncertain.
It's too risky.
Yep. And the data proves this out perfectly. Highly obfuscated patents have significantly lower secondary market values, and they are far less likely to be successfully pledged as collateral for debt.
Wait, if I'm a savvy CEO, I wouldn't let that stop me.
No.
No. I would just instruct my lawyers to write a super confusing public patent to scare off all my rivals and build that fog fence.
Okay.
But then when I need a massive loan, I take my banker out to a nice steak dinner, slide a crystal clear, plain English summary across the table, and explain exactly what the patent means behind closed doors to get the cash.
It is a very logical workaround. And the researchers actually explicitly address this concept of an alternative private channel. But private communication doesn't solve the underlying problem for the bank.
Oh, right, because the banker isn't the one who's eventually going to use the technology.
Right.
If my company defaults, that banker is stuck holding the patent and they still have to sell it to a third-party competitor, and that third party is only going to have access to the confusing, legally binding public filing.
Exactly. A private steak dinner doesn't magically rewrite the public patent document, so the resale value stays in the gutter.
The public document is the only thing that travels with the asset.
Right. And the researchers found a stunning behavioral shift in the data that proves this dynamic. They track the timelines of these firms. The exact moment a company pledges its very first patent as collateral to a bank,
yeah,
the obfuscation levels in all of their subsequent patent applications immediately plummet.
Oh, wow. The moment they realize they need their intellectual property to act as a financial asset to secure debt, they magically discover the ability to write clearly.
Isn't that something?
The fog lifts because they need the cash. But, I mean, seeing that correlation is fascinating. But a correlation isn't enough to prove that the need for cash actually causes the clearer writing. To prove causation, we need to see what happens when a company is completely stripped of its choice.
Yes. And to isolate causation, the researchers used a statistical method based on how patent examiners are assigned.
Okay, how does that work?
When a company submits a patent, the examiner assigned to review it is drawn from a pool within that specific technology unit. It is effectively a random lottery.
Oh, I see.
Now, some examiners are incredibly strict about enforcing Section 112, which is the USPTO rule requiring clarity. Other examiners are notoriously lax and just wave confusing language right through.
So by pure luck of the draw, a company might get a strict examiner who forcefully rejects the gobbledygook.
When forced to be clear, the tangible financial value of the patent just goes up.
And the researchers also looked at broader legal shocks that stripped companies of their choices too, right? There was the Nautilus v. Biosig Supreme Court ruling, which demanded a much higher standard of clarity across the board.
Yeah.
And there was the American Inventors Protection Act, a congressional mandate that forced patents to be published after 18 months, even if they hadn't been fully granted yet.
That congressional act was a massive disruption.
Right.
Before it passed, you could keep your patent application a secret for years until the exact moment it was granted.
Okay.
Suddenly, companies realized their trade secrets were going to be exposed early. Many firms panicked.
Naturally.
So to compensate for the early exposure, they massively increased their obfuscation to hide their tech from competitors who would now see it at month 18.
But the punchline to these legal shocks is who didn't react. When the Supreme Court demanded clarity, or when Congress forced early publication, firms that were highly levered with debt or actively pledging patents for loans, they barely reacted at all. They had total debt immunity.
Interesting.
They couldn't afford to play games with obfuscation because they were relying on those patents for loans. Wall Street was already acting as their strictest regulator, forcing them to be transparent.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it brings us to the final and perhaps most brilliant piece of proof in the paper. It involves a massive accounting shift in 2006 regarding how corporate debt was calculated, known as the Moody's pension loophole.
Ah, yes. This is where the mechanics of phantom debt get really interesting.
Totally. The credit rating agency Moody's changed a highly technical rule concerning how they treated underfunded employee pensions.
Okay.
Previously, an underfunded pension was viewed as a massive liability, heavily weighing down a company's credit rating. But in 2006, Moody's decided to treat those underfunded pensions much more favorably in their debt calculations.
Okay, so what did that do?
By tweaking this formula, Moody's essentially erased a massive chunk of debt off these companies' balance sheets overnight.
Wait, so without selling a single extra product or inventing anything new, a bunch of struggling companies suddenly looked incredibly profitable and financially healthy on paper.
Yes.
Their credit ratings shot up, their stock prices stabilized, and banks were practically throwing cheap money at them. Their financial constraints were totally loosened.
The pressure for external funding vanished. And the result is the ultimate smoking gun for this entire theory.
What happened?
The exact moment these firms didn't need external financing as badly, they immediately started obfuscating their patents again.
Wow.
The financial cost of being vague disappeared, so they went right back to hiding their tech behind a wall of postgraduate jargon.
That's incredible.
It proves that the desire to hide information from competitors is the default state of a corporation. The only thing pulling them out of that default state is the desperate need for capital.
So what does this all mean for you? We've learned that corporate patent writing is essentially a high-stakes tug-of-war. Pulling on one side is the intense desire to build a confusing, foggy moat to lock competitors out and monopolize an industry. Pulling on the other side is the desperate need to look transparent, liquid, and valuable to Wall Street and to lenders.
The big takeaway here really challenges our fundamental assumptions about regulation. We usually think of the government, specifically the patent office, as the primary entity that forces companies to share their knowledge for the public good.
Right. We assume the law creates transparency.
But this research shows something entirely different. It shows that capital markets and the basic corporate need for funding are actually acting as the ultimate editors of human knowledge. It is the bank, not the bureaucrat, that forces a company to write clearly.
It is the bankers demanding to know exactly what they're buying that actually keeps the library of human innovation readable.
Which brings up a really provocative thought to leave you with.
Yeah.
If corporate debt and the need for bank loans are the primary forces keeping our public technological blueprints legible, what happens to human progress and open innovation as today's mega corporations become infinitely wealthy?
Scary thought.
We have tech giants sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars in cash reserves right now. They do not need bank loans. They do not need to pledge patents as collateral to survive. As they become entirely free from financial constraints, will the well of shared human knowledge just dry up?
Yeah. Will the blueprints of our future just vanish into an unreadable fog?
Yeah.
It shifts the concern from how much we're inventing to whether we'll even be able to read our own progress in the future.
It's definitely something to mull over the next time you're trying to decipher a massively confusing terms of service agreement. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.